Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to our 5 series. Alhamdulillah, we're now in week 4, actually, I believe. We're in week 4 now, starting with episode 7 for the week, alhamdulillah. And we have gone on a journey so far this past month of August in kind of diving into the intricacies and the details of our faith. You know, there are a lot of sessions and lectures on different things, you know, in our faith when it comes to our religion. But something that is very, very beautiful to go back and reflect upon are the basics. And then, you know, when you really find out something very beautiful about, you know, religion, actually, and life in general, is that once you go back to the foundations or the basics, you realize there are key details and foundations or basics that are much more vast and beautiful than you ever thought they were. And this is why people kind of overlook the basics a lot, is because they just think it's like elementary. They just think it's very trivial. But in reality, the foundations are what you build your pillars on, right? If a house does not have a foundation, there's no way that you can actually build the walls. There's no way that you can build a roof or a ceiling or, you know, rooms within a home. So the idea of building a foundation is so, so important, especially when it comes to our faith. And so, alhamdulillah, we are here today to talk about one of the most foundational components of our religion, and that is the miracle that is the Quran. The Quran, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what is the Quran to us, right? And one of the questions that we want to start off with asking everybody on our live stream is, you know, let's reflect together very, very personally. What is a passage in the Quran that weighs heavily in your heart? So I'm going to, inshallah, type it out like I usually do for everybody that's on our live stream right now. So what is a passage in the Quran that you love very deeply? Okay, so I'm going to pin this message for everybody. And I want everyone to reflect on this together as a group of people. So you can write out your thoughts and reflections at the bottom of your screen. What is a passage in the Quran that you love very deeply? Maybe it's a surah. Maybe it's a specific verse. Maybe it's a word in the Quran that you really relate to. What is one part of the Quran that you love very, very deeply? I'll give you guys one of my favorite pieces of the Quran. One of my favorite pieces of the Quran comes in a beautiful surah called Surah Duha. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this specific surah, this is one of the earliest surahs that was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in one of the first ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, "Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala." Okay, that your Lord is neither displeased with you nor is he disappointed in you. And this is very reassuring for me as a person whenever I'm feeling down or I'm feeling extremely bad about myself or my own spirituality or my level of iman. I always think to myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such a kind and merciful Lord that he will never be ultimately displeased or disappointed in us. There's always hope for a believer. There's always hope for a person who calls themselves a Muslim. So reflect on your screen underneath the pinned question about what your favorite passage in the Quran is, and that will kind of help kickstart this reflective nature of today's session, inshallah. So what does the Quran actually mean? What does the word Quran mean in of itself? Today we're actually going to talk about a lot of different things. We're going to talk about the meaning of the Quran. What does the word Quran mean? What should it mean to us? We're going to, inshallah, be talking about the transmission of the Quran. How was the Quran legitimately transmitted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Angel Jibril to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now centuries and centuries later down to us living in 2020 today? So we're going to talk about all of those different details of the life and the journey of the Quran itself. So the word Quran in and of itself, the word Quran means to recite, something that is recited. Or another meaning, the scholars, they actually say that the word Quran means something that is gathered together, something that is gathered together, which really tells us the true nature of the Quran, which is, and I want everyone to understand this, you know, because a lot of times we make the mistake, and this is not to blame anyone, but we make the mistake of calling the Quran like, you know, a book that we have in our homes. You know, we call the Quran the text, you know, like the actual, like the physical book that we have in our homes. But the Quran specifically is actually pertaining, it actually means the word of God. The word Quran, it means something that's recited. And what is recited is actually the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which brings me to my first point, which is really important, is to understand that the Quran is something that is meant to be recited. Okay, it is meant to be recited. It has an oral tradition. Ever since the first revelation that ever came down to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Jibril came down to him in a place where he would meditate almost every single day of his of that time period in his life. It was called Tahannuth, is where he used to get away from, you know, the daily grind of life and the difficulties and the stress of life. And he used to go to this cave called Ghar Hira, in a mountain called the Mountain of Light, Jabal al-Nur. And he used to meditate. And within one of those moments of meditation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his greatest angel, the Archangel Gabriel. He came down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Gabriel, or Jibril alayhi salam, and he squeezed the Prophet and he told him the first word that Jibril uttered to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Iqra. He told him to recite. Iqra and Quran have the same root letters. Iqra, Quran. Okay, so the word Quran comes from the idea of recitation. It's supposed to be recited. So when Jibril told the Prophet ﷺ to recite, he says, "Ma ana biqari, I cannot read. Ma ana biqari, I cannot recite right now. I don't know how to read. I don't know how to recite." And Jibril squeezed him again and told him to Iqra. And the Prophet ﷺ miraculously, after a couple of times, began to read. After Jibril said, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq." Read in the name of your Lord that created you, the Lord who created you. And he miraculously started to recite. So the Quran from day one had a very, very oral tradition. Even when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after that famous first revelation, when he used to receive revelation from Jibril alayhi salam, he used to actually be recited to by Jibril. Okay, there's famous narrations that actually say that every Ramadan, Jibril alayhi salam used to come down from the heavens and he used to actually sit with the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, and he used to recite back and forth the Quran to the Prophet. So like it would be sharp in his memory. And so when the Prophet used to actually recite Quran to his companions, they would listen to it first and foremost. They would like hear it first and foremost. They would listen to it from his orating. And the people who used to be able to write at that time, and it was not common that the people of that time used to be able to write, and the select few who were able to do so, they used to write bits and pieces of it down on like leaves and parchment if they had enough, you know, wealth to acquire parchment. They used to write it down very, very quickly as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be reciting these verses out. Most of the people during that time period did not have the Quran written down. Most of them had it memorized in their heads. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's generation, by the way, we call them the best generation of all time, they preserved the Quran in their heart. They didn't preserve it on books or on tablets or on iPads or on like, you know, whatever we have today. They kept the Quran in their hearts, which really spiritually gives a very fascinating implication that it implies that these people were so accustomed to hearing the recitation of the Quran that it was just a part of their day. It was just a part of their day. You know, we ask ourselves the question, like, why am I not able to retain ayahs in the Quran, or why am I not able to retain certain knowledge that I hear? It's because we're not used to that culture. All we're used to is just like reading, bookmarking, saving a picture, right? Saving a video into our camera roll. We're used to that culture. We're not used to memorizing anymore. And that was something that was extremely strong during the generation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was an oral tradition first and foremost before it ever became a written text. It only became a written text after a generation or two after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a moment actually when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he died, and there's a narration that said Ali radiallahu anhu, who was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's cousin, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he ran to his home and he began to scribble down as much Quran as he could remember. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. They started to completely write things out for their own benefit because they didn't have the luxury of having the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam around. Okay, so what is the Quran? Okay, what is the beauty of the Quran? Why did the Quran come down to us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran itself, in chapter in Surah Yusuf, which is chapter 12 of the Quran, he says about the Quran itself, Alif Lam Ra, tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. Okay, he says tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. This is ayatul kitab al-mubin. These are the miracles or the signs or the verses from kitab al-mubin. This book, the word kitab in Arabic means book, okay? Or kutub is books, plural. But kitab mubin, Allah describes as the Quran as mubin. The word mubin means something that's clear. First and foremost, the Quran is supposed to be very, very clear cut. It's an extremely clear cut book. It's an extremely clear cut speech. There is no sort of confusion with it. Whatever it says, it is. There's no sort of idea of the Quran being murky or confusing or unclear because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the kitab in mubin. The word mubin is actually very beautiful because it's used as almost like an adjective and also as a verb at the same time. When it comes to the Quran itself, the word mubin means that it's clear in and of itself and its content and what it's trying to teach us. And number two is that it clarifies, okay? It is clear in and of itself in its own nature. And on top of that, the Quran also clarifies. It clarifies the difficulties you have in your life. It clarifies decisions that you make in your life. It clarifies things that seem very uncertain in your life. The Quran clarifies a lot of doubts that people have in their life. I mean, think about it. The hard honest truth actually is, the beauty of Islam really is, that the majority, and I actually read this in an article of a very valid and authenticated study, that the people who actually convert to Islam don't convert to Islam because of people. People don't convert to Islam because of other people. People convert because they find some sort of divine light from the book of Allah. There's something special in this book. It's not like anything else I've ever picked up in my life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he challenges us in the Quran actually. He says, try replicating it. Try replicating it, even one line, try replicating it. Something very simple, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The nature of these words, this language, the poetry within the letters in the Quran cannot be duplicated, right? I mean, look at the letters, right? Alif, Lam, Mim. What does that mean? We don't know, right? But the scholars, they say that these even simple letters, Alif, Lam, Mim, Alif, Lam, Ra, Yasin, These are letters that are called haruf al-muqatta'at, which basically means that they're the secret letters. They are the letters that the meaning is held within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this conversation that Allah is having with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an A and B conversation. So it's not meant for us. It's very, very beautiful. The language that's within this Quran is extremely beautiful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. He says that we have revealed to you this Quran. We have revealed to you this Quran. And before it, مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. You were lost. You were completely lost. You didn't know which direction to go in life. A lot of us, before we found spiritual guidance, we found our true north, if you will, spiritually. We were just kind of like, chickens with our heads cut off, right? We're like babies that don't know where to go if, we're not taught which direction to go in. And Allah says that, in kunta min qablihi lamina al-ghafilin, that before this Quran came down to you, you had no idea where to go in your life. You didn't know what to follow. And the scary thing is that when life is ultimately left up to human beings, and our best judgment and our best, you know, interests and desires, what happens, unfortunately, is that human beings drive each other mad. You don't drive each other mad. You drive yourselves mad, actually, right? Like, I mean, look at it. Like, when you're left to human law, and this is why the Quran is so beautiful, because the Quran itself is basically kind of separated into three parts, is that, you know, it's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his names and attributes, the stories of the prophets, and it teaches us law. It teaches us what's okay, what's not okay. And we believe in Islam as Muslims that we submit to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the reasons why we actually do that is because it lifts a very heavy burden off of our own shoulders. Imagine if you were left to decide what prayer was, if you were to decide what charity was, if you were to decide, you know, how often you should fast every single year. Imagine if you had to decide, you know, all these different rules and regulations of relationships and marriage and neighbor and being a neighbor and being a mother and a father. What are the rights of your mom, your dad, your kids, your brothers, your sisters, your wife, your husband? All these questions are answered in the Quran. And because of that, a humble human being, a person who practices humility, they appreciate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already done the heavy lifting for us. He's already done the heavy lifting for us. You don't even have to think about it. Because before this Quran came down, we were like just blind. We were looking around and we couldn't find a place to like, we couldn't find our true north and our compass. But because the Quran came down, it gave us a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, and I always give this example to any sort of class that I ever teach. You know, before the Prophet ﷺ, he was, you know, notably a prophet of Allah. And he was given the Quran as a revelation. The people of Mecca, right, the inhabitants of Mecca, the Quraysh of the different tribes in Mecca, they used to bury their baby daughters. They used to bury their baby daughters, right? They used to get rid of their baby girls because they thought that they were not valuable to society. I'd rather have a son because my son can carry on my lineage and my name. You know, my girl is eventually going to get married and move on to another family. We'll have to share another family. No, no. The Prophet ﷺ came down with the Quran. Allah gave him the Quran and said, no, this is barbaric. This is barbaric. This is absolutely, this is tyrannical behavior. What are you doing? Look at Prophet, look at Musa, look at Fir'aun. Fir'aun was killing baby boys, right? You see all this corruption happening and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending down this Quran saying, hey, stop, stop. Stop what you're doing. You're pillaging, you're murdering, you're stealing, you're breaking people's trust. People are living out of stress and anxiety. I've given you this Quran. I've given you this Quran so your life may be a little bit more clear. It may be a little bit more clear for you to see. And that is one of the biggest jobs of the Quran, is to clarify life for us, to make sure that we can see ahead of ourselves rather than, you know, taking life one day and not knowing what to do the next day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of that for us in the Quran. And so the Quran also in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah describes the Quran as well. Allah says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. He says that this is the book. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ, or that is the book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. There is no sort of doubt in it. There's no sort of concealment in it. Whatever is there that you need in your life, it's boom, right there for you. And this is another beautiful kind of trait and personality of the Quran, is that the Quran is all that we need and none of what we don't need. And I'll repeat that again for the people in the back. The Quran is everything that we need and nothing we do not need. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Everything you ever need to live a God-conscious life, to live a life of contentment in this life, but to live a better life in the Akhirah, is all found in this book of Allah. Everything that you do not need is not in this book. Why? Because a lot of people sometimes they mistranslate the Quran as like, oh, it's a storybook, right? It's a storybook. Have you ever heard that before? I don't know. I've heard that several times in my life where people are like, oh, like, you know, the Quran is just like this giant storybook. It's filled with stories of the prophets and stories of people of old and, you know, how Allah dealt with different communities and societies from before. And of course, it's true that, you know, in the Quran, a lot of the Quran is actually narrative, right? Stories of prophets, stories of pious people, stories of corrupt nations. There's a lot of stories in the Quran, but it's not a storybook. You know why? Because storybooks have the objective and the purpose of entertainment. The Quran is not entertainment. The Quran is guidance. It's hidayah, right? And he says this, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ The word هُدًى means hidayah, guidance. It's guidance for who? لِلْمُتَّقِينَ For the people who want to live a God-conscious life. If you're a person who wants to live a life that is somewhat conscious of Allah, right? And this is, you know, the term taqwa, and we need to all kind of be familiar with these small terms in our religion and our faith. The word taqwa means God consciousness. And one of our teachers actually at the Qalam Seminary, you know, always taught all of the students that taqwa is being conscious of Allah in every decision that you make in your life. That's what taqwa is. With every decision that you make, when you eat, you say Bismillah. When you make a decision to give charity, you want to ask yourself, what is my intention with this? When you decide to take upon a relationship in your life, you got to ask yourself, am I doing this for the sake of Allah, or am I doing it to satiate my own desires? You know, when I go and I pray, am I doing it to show off to the people behind me, or am I doing it because I want to sincerely create this bond between me and my creator? You know, taqwa is that. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ It's a guidance for the people who want to get to that level. Who want to get to that level, right? And by the way, the beauty is that taqwa is grown. It's not ever like at a solid state. It constantly grows for people. Sometimes your taqwa is a little bit lower, sometimes a little bit higher, sometimes it's kind of wavering in the middle. But the Quran helps you get to where you want to get to. And who are the muttaqeen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ The people who believe in the unseen. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ People who believe in the unseen. And a lot of times I know when we hear the word غَيْب or unseen, we automatically think of like, oh wow, jinn, shaitan, angels, right? No. Allah is unseen. Allah is unseen. The first kind of, the first definition of a muttaqi, a person who is a, the person who embodies taqwa, is belief in Allah. And Allah is unseen. You have to admit that you will not be able to see Allah. You will not be able to see Him. Get that arrogance out of your heart. You know, one of the most common arguments that you find of people who do not believe in God or religion or whatever you want to call it is, where is your God? And by the way, this ain't no new like concept, by the way. This isn't like a new idea of like, oh, you know, oh wow, like challenging God. It must be like a very brand new Gen Z millennial type of thing. No, it's not. It's been happening forever, right? People have been asking, oh yeah, if you really believe in a God, where is he? Tell us where he is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ You're supposed to believe in the unseen. There's a realm of our world that's unseen. You're not going to see it, but you feel it though. You feel it. How many of y'all ever felt Allah in your heart? You haven't seen Allah with your own eyes, but you felt Allah with your heart. You felt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. You felt those moments where Allah's presence just like gave you chills. You felt those moments like after salah or when you were giving charity or when you did something good, you felt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around you. And I'll tell you guys a moment where I always feel Allah very, very deeply for me. Whenever I'm out in nature, I always feel Allah. Sometimes it takes us to get away from like the daily humanity and the things that we deal with in our lives every single day, the stress, the anxiety, work, school, friends, this, that, all that stuff. Sometimes it takes us to get away from that to feel Allah. So for me personally, I always feel Allah when I'm out in the open, like in nature. Like when we go see very scenic, beautiful spots, I feel Allah. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that, right? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? It's all around you. It's all around you. Yeah, some people are saying, you know, in sujood, for fajr prayer, you're alone. You feel very, very, you know, you're very connected with Allah, right? هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ And the Quran is supposed to help you along that journey. It's supposed to help you along that journey. I mean, how many of us, quite honestly, have ever held the Quran in our hands? Like literally, you held like a copy of the Quran, whether it's electronic or hard copy, and literally you're like, dude, this is the word of God right here. This is the word of God. This isn't like the word of a man. This isn't the word of even an angel. This is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. You know, when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh, when Umar was, before he was a Muslim, Umar radiallahu anh one time, he was laying out in the middle of the Haram, right near the Kaaba in the city of Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was nearby. And this is before Umar, mind you, converted to Islam. And Umar had been fed this rhetoric that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like this magician, this soothsayer, right? He's like this like really good poet. He's convinced people with his beautiful words that he's the prophet and messenger of God. His words are really, really, you know, they tantalize people, they mesmerize people. And so watch out for this guy. His words are very sweet. And so Umar, he was laying down one day and he was thinking and he heard the Prophet ﷺ reciting Quran. And Umar ibn Khattab, he goes, no, these are the words of like a magician. These are the words of a poet. And the Prophet ﷺ, he recites from the Qur'an. From the Qur'an, in Surah Taha, you can find this. He says, these are not the words of a poet. وَلَلِ قَوْلِ كَاهِن. Right? Like, this is not the word of a poet. شَاعِر, كَاهِن, right? A poet, or a magician, or a soothsayer. And Umar ibn Khattab, like, got, like, up straight. He's like, oh, man, this dude's messing with my head right now, right? He can read my mind. The reality is that the Quran is not the word of a, it's not the word of a human. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so when we ask ourselves, what is it supposed to do for me? What impact is it supposed to have on my life? Here's a couple of ayahs in the Quran that will really help us define what this text, what this word of Allah is supposed to have, what kind of an impact is it supposed to have on our lives. Number one, Allah says in Surah Al-Taha, Surah Al-Taha, Allah says, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. Allah says that this Qur'an, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. We have not sent down, anzalna. And by the way, another really important thing, another word to kind of keep in mind is the word tanzil. Tanzil in Arabic means to be sent down over a period of time. So the Qur'an is categorized as this idea of tanzil. It means like it was revealed over a period of time in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. This is why if you want to understand the Quran, one of the best ways to do so is actually to read the biography of the Prophet ﷺ and find out exactly which points of what chapters of the Prophet's life did certain ayat come down. You know, like what context was this in? Why did this verse come down specifically, right? And so Allah says, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. He says that this Qur'an was not revealed to you to be a form of stress for you, that you be distressed, that you be bothered, that you be, given anxiety, anxious. On the other hand, this Qur'an is supposed to be a way of stress relief for you. It's supposed to be a form of anxiety relief. It's supposed to be a form of releasing a lot of the hardships you have in your life. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. That's number one. One of the first objectives of the Qur'an is to make sure we understand that it's a form of stress relief for us. Number two is in Surah Al-Muhammad, one of the rights that the Qur'an has upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ. Allah says, then do they not reflect? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not reflect on the Qur'an? Do they not reflect over it? Again, we said in the beginning that it's something that's recited. It is transmitted through recitation and orating, and then later on physically written down. But the main right that the Qur'an has over us is tadabbur. Tadabbur. The word tadabbur means reflection. You're supposed to understand these words. You're supposed to reflect over these words. When you read Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin, you're not just supposed to like a drone or like a robot be like Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in Ihdinas Siratal Mustaqim Amin Qul Huwallahu Ahad. No, you're not supposed to speed through it. You're not supposed to speed through it. Scholars actually say it's a sin. It's a sin to not give the Qur'an its rights, to not read it, to not read it slowly, to internalize the words in it, to reflect over it. because each and every letter has a meaning behind it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah, in the name of Allah, with the help of the name of Allah, with the help of God Himself, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the merciful, the all-merciful. I mean, like, that small phrase has like literally you can write an entire essay on it. So imagine what the rest of the entire chapter has within its meanings. Subhanallah. So a part of it is Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Like, do you not reflect on it? Or are their hearts locked up? Are there locks upon the hearts of people? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not give you this Quran to reflect upon? Or do your hearts have shackles over them? Do your hearts have shackles over them where we're just so used to listening to music and watching TV and watching shows on Netflix and, you know, watching Hasan Minhaj's Patriot Act and comedy this and stand up that and, you know, TikTok videos this and, you know, Instagram story that, and we don't have time for the Quran, even for 5 minutes. Subhanallah, you know, I actually challenge everybody right now. I challenge you. Open up, if you have an iPhone, do this. If you don't, may Allah have mercy upon you. I'm just kidding. If you have a phone, whatever it is, iPhone, Android, I don't care, Google Pixel, whatever it is, open up your screen time. Open up your screen time and go through your screen time settings and see the apps that you spend the most time on. You know, like if we were to analytically and statistically break down our lives, you know, your phone statistics don't lie. What do you spend the most time on? And by the way, most of us are on our phones for hours in a day, whether if you want to call it work or socializing or keeping up with the most recent news or whatever it is. Open up your phone settings. Open up your phone settings and look through your timestamps on what apps you spend the most time on. Is it Instagram? Is it TikTok? Is it YouTube? Is it Safari? Is it, you know, is it Facebook? Is it Snapchat? You know, what is it? Is it Netflix? Is it YouTube TV? Like, what do we spend the most time on? And then I want you to take a mental note of how many times or how many minutes in a day you spend time at least reflecting on the word of Allah. At least reflecting on the word of Allah. Maybe you're not the fastest reader. Maybe you're not the most speedy, you know, reciter of the Quran. But how much time or effort do you put into it? It's a very, very big question. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, actually in a very, very authentic hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he says, verily, the one who recites Quran beautifully, smoothly, and precisely, he will be in the company of the noble and obedient angels on the day of judgment. That those who recite the Quran beautifully, they will be in the presence, in the company of the noble, the most noble angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who recite the Quran beautifully. But check this out, even more beautiful. This is going to hit y'all deep, by the way. Y'all ready for this? So make sure you like hashtag this later on, because this is like deep right here. And by the way, this is not my words, it's the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, and as for the one who recites with difficulty, as for the one who recites with difficulty, and by the way, that's most people. MashaAllah, if you haven't like studied Quran in your life and you're not hafiz, you're not, you know, you're not a frequent reciter of the Quran, most of us struggle with it. Most of us struggle reading the Quran, you know, alif, lam, mim, dhalik, al-kitab. You know, we read very slowly if we can even read. The Prophet says, for y'all, and as for those who recite with difficulty, stammering or stumbling through its verses, because you don't know how to read it, but you're trying to do so, you will have twice the reward as a person who reads the Quran beautifully and smoothly. And the Prophet said the reward of those who read the Quran beautifully and smoothly is to be in the company of the angels. He says that those who struggle with it will have twice the reward as those who recite it beautifully and smoothly. So imagine how merciful of a religion that Islam really is, that it's so based upon effort. It's so based upon effort, y'all. It has nothing to do with an A or a B or extra credit points or a C or a D or whatever. It's based upon the effort that we put into it. Can you put in a little bit of effort to connect with your Creator? And if so, 100% for you. 100% for you. Go hang out with Jibril right now. Go hang out with Mikael right now. Go hang out with Israfil right now. That's your reward. Even better than that, right? Go hang out with all of them at the same time. This is the reward of the Prophet ﷺ. He says, for those who struggle with reading the Quran. So how can we as people grow a love for the Quran? How can we kind of practically do this? And we'll end with this inshallah and leave it for people's reflections. Number one is to listen to its recitation while your heart and your mind are in it. Listen to its recitation when your heart and your mind are attentive. Don't just listen to it passively. Listen to it attentively. Do not neglect it. Don't be distant from it. And I have a really, really awesome kind of tip for everybody to share with y'all today. If you want to like really, really get and fall in love with listening to the Quran, vibe with like a specific reciter. Vibe with a specific reciter. You know, we all have our like special reciters that we actually, that we listen to. We all have the reciters that we love to listen to. And personally for me, I love listening to Saad Shuraim. I love listening to him. I also love listening to Sheikh Maher Mu'aqli. Like, I love these specific reciters. Sheikh Maher, actually, on Spotify, that's like my go-to move on Fridays, right? You know, like Surat al-Kahf, you're supposed to recite Surat al-Kahf, and there's a hadith that says that those who recite or listen to Surat al-Kahf will have a light protecting them from this Friday to the next Friday. For me, listening to Sheikh Maher in my car on my way to Jum'ah is like my jam. It's like my jam. I got to do it. And the reason why I fell in love with it is because I love the way that Sheikh Maher recites Quran. So peaceful, so beautiful. So find a way for you to fall in love with the recitation. And that might require you to find a way to fall in love with a specific way a person recites the Quran. Not everybody will have the same person that they listen to. Some of y'all may not be the biggest fans of Mishari bin Rashid al-Afasi, right? Some of you guys may more so be Sheikh Saad al-Ghamidi, right? Some of y'all may listen to somebody else on Spotify. But find that person for you that really, really works for you. That's number one. Number two is make sure to have a solid translation of the Quran. Have a solid translation of the Quran. I think a lot of us undermine the beauty of language. A lot of us undermine the beauty of language. Yes, the Quran was revealed in Arabic, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. Alif Lam Ra Tilka Ayatul Kitab Mubin Inna Anzalahu Quranan Arabiyan La'allakum Ta'qilun. That it has been a text that's been sent in Arabic. Of course, Arabic is absolutely important. And I actually encourage y'all, if you do not have any sort of knowledge of the Arabic language, I really encourage everyone to at least start their journey of being able to understand Arabic to a certain extent. Learn some vocabulary. Be able to at least understand certain words and certain pieces of Arabic, you know, grammar, whatever it may be. At least begin that journey. But even if you cannot do that, there's an easy solution. Find a good translation of the Quran in a language that you understand. And for most of us, we have the kind of the base foundation that a lot of us understand the English language. And so when it comes to the Quran, and if you want to beautify your understanding of the Quran, at least respect the work of other people. And for me personally, I recommend, I wish I actually had the book on me, but I actually think it's in the other room right now. But my personal recommendation is the Oxford edition, the translation of the Quran, translated by Mas Abdul Halim. If you look at it on, you know, if you look it up on Google, the Google Shopping or Amazon or whatever it is, you can find it anywhere. It's called the Oxford edition of the Quran translation, translated by M.A.S. Abdul Halim. And if you can't, you can go to Quran.com, literally in your browser, and you can look at the corner, there's like a grinder setting kind of icon, and under it, it should have multiple translations underneath it. And if you click on Abdul Halim's translation, it is the most English-friendly translation of the Quran that I have found in my life. There is no translation in the English language that's better, in my opinion. It's completely thorough in a language that we all can understand. And it uses words that are very frequent in our vocabulary and our rhetoric today. So I recommend number two is find a solid translation. I cannot reiterate how important it is for us to find solid translations of the Quran, because a lot of us have felt distant from the Quran because obviously, number one, a lot of us do not have Arabic as our natural language. And number two, the translations that we have read are translations that are completely the opposite of our own English understanding. Thouest, speaketh, uponeth, youeth. You know, like when I read that, I'm like, huh? I'm like, dude, like, what? Like, why this type of like Harry Potter, Dumbledorean, you know, Gandalfian language? Like, I don't understand that. So find a translation that works for you. That's number two. And the last thing the last piece of advice that I will share with everybody today is make sure that you make your journey with the Quran personal. Make it personal. You know, one of the ways to do that is have your own copy of the Quran. You know, make sure that you cover it, you know, in your own book cover that's yours specifically. You know, write notes on like sticky notes on it or something like that. Notes that are personal to you and you alone. So whenever somebody asks you, hey, can I see your Quran? You're like, nope, that's my Quran. You can't touch that thing, right? You can't touch my Quran. That's mine, right? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. If it helps you build a personal relationship with the Book of Allah, then do it. Have your own personal Quran for you that can benefit you specifically and notes that you will understand and reflections that are from you, from your own heart. So whenever you read the ayah, whenever you read the ayah in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do they not reflect upon the Quran, the beauty of it? You're like, yeah, Allah, I got you. I got you. I reflect on the Quran. Like, this is my personal one. This is, I wrote all these notes down on it from my own life. That is what we want to aim to achieve, inshallah ta'ala. We are going to end with that. I hope everybody was able to benefit a little bit. We kind of explained some technicalities in the beginning, but obviously we want to end with a beautiful, meaningful reflection. And obviously, alhamdulillah, you know, one of the biggest blessings in life is that we have so many resources nowadays. When we're confused about something, we can go ask a local teacher, or obviously you guys are more than welcome to, you know, privately message Roots Instagram or Roots Facebook, anything that you guys want. You know, my email, I believe my contact information is on the Roots website. So is Ustad Murphy. So is Ustad Fatima's. We're all here for you guys, inshallah. And alhamdulillah, may Allah ta'ala allow us all to really reconnect with the book that he has given the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and through him he has given to us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to create a beautiful, beautiful, meaningful relationship with the Quran itself. And may Allah ta'ala accept from us. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu alayk. Wa jazakumullahu khairan, you guys. Thank you so much for hanging on with us a little bit longer than usual. I know we usually end around like 6:30, 6:35, but today's session was just too good to cut off short. And I hope everybody enjoyed today's reflections. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys for the sake of Allah. And we will, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, see you guys on Wednesday for the next episode of the 5 series. And for those of you who asked the question, is the series recorded? It most certainly is recorded. If you go to our Instagram IGTV, the tab on the Roots Instagram page, you'll see it under the IGTV, under the series, the 5, you'll see all of the episodes there. Also, inshallah, we're actually working on releasing these episodes as podcasts. So under the album, the 5 series, we're going to, inshallah, be publishing these individual episodes as podcasts on Spotify, on Apple, on iTunes. So you guys can just listen to it in the car whenever you're free, or just walking around the house, you know, vacuuming, cooking, whatever you guys are doing. And inshallah, we can benefit everyone through there. Jazakumullah khairan, y'all. Appreciate you guys. And we'll see you guys on Wednesday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.